Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Anissa Abd El Fattah, the director of the National Association of Muslim American Women, joins us for a conversation today about matters political, cultural, and theological. Anissa, like me, has a background in the American Midwest. We are contemporaries in age and in era. She was in the 1960s, living between Chicago and St. Louis. I was an American Middle Westerner, traveling around the world because my dad was in the Air Force. But my roots are in the Midwest. My parents are a part of the Depression era folks in a small German-American town in Iowa, a place called Hamburg or Hamburg, Iowa. Kind of an interesting place. My dad joined the Army Air Corps the day after the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. He never left the Air Force. That was his entire life and all the days that followed. And we are joined by a very fine guest today. Anissa's been bringing some things to our attention, folks, that we need to be listening to. Who and what is really behind this war on terror? Who's giving us the agitation propaganda for it? The same folks that are behind the demise of our culture, in my view. Anissa, here we are now getting ready to chat again for about 5 or 6 minutes, and there will be another break, and then there will be a very longer period of time for conversation. In terms of what this means to you as a Muslim, you are an American. You are also a Muslim. You are a person for anyone who talks to you, and I have not only talked, this is my second conversation with you of any duration. Mm-hmm. I read your materials when you send them out on email.
Oh, thank you.
You, to me, mm-hmm. and Mark Glenn is to be credited, by the way, with putting the two of us together.
Right.
When I listen to you talk, and the things that you say that come from the heart, it is clear to me that they do. When I read your articles, I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is the same thing that I experienced years ago in Iran. Now, in your case, you're an American, and that needs to be emphasized. You're not just a Muslim. You're an American.
Right.
I sense a commonality with you as an American, even though I am an Orthodox Lutheran and you are a Muslim. We share certain good things in common with one another. And there's this incredible paradox that Mark Glenn talked about last night on Michael Collins Piper's show, and I'm now making reference to it,
mm-hmm.
that people like you, who have so much in common with the rest of us as Americans who are not Muslims,
mm-hmm.
are being demonized as real or potential enemies of our nation,
right.
at the same time that the folks who are the real enemies of our culture and the real enemies of our Constitution seem to be getting away with this ruse scot-free. It's a terrifying phenomenon to me.
Well,
if you comment on that.
Yeah, it's just because people pretty much are passive. It's like shock. When you have something the magnitude of the media campaign that led this country into Iraq, when you have a deception of that magnitude take place, when you have so many good and decent people support something for what they call thought was a good, decent, and patriotic cause, find out that they were duped and lied to, that they were made morally culpable for the murders, the literal murders of hundreds of thousands of innocent people, then it causes you psychologically to, the reaction to that might be to just kind of take a hands off. You know, I was very... It was interesting to me that after certain things happened in Iraq, prior when we originally invaded Iraq, one of the Ayatollahs there, very revered General Ayatollah Sistani, he worked very hard to try to decrease the amount of loss of life and all of these things in Iraq. To some extent, he cooperated with the U.S. government by helping to get the Iraqi government standing up.
Anissa, this is that infamous break I was warning you about.
Oh,
hold
okay.
that thought, and when we come back, take the football and run with it. This
okay.
is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll be back with Anissa Abd El Fattah, the National Director of the National Association of Muslim American Women. Stay tuned.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond from Most Holy Family Monastery. We are now offering a critically important $10 package. The package contains 3 DVDs with 10 different programs, our new 658-page book called The Truth About What Really Happened to the Catholic Church After Vatican II, which is the most comprehensive book ever produced on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. You also get another 335-page book and other material. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. At the website, you can watch all of our videos for free, read sample chapters of the new book and other articles, or call us 24 hours a day at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or you can mail in your order to us at Most Holy Family Monastery, 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The price of the whole package is $10, which includes media mail shipping, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S. MostHolyFamilyMonastery.com.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle, and today you're showing up in your new car and telling me you're buying a house? What did you do, rob Bill Gates?
No, John, I didn't rob Bill Gates. What I did do is visit the website www.didyourobbillgates.com. That's where I learned how to make $3,000 to $9,000 each and every week, starting with my very first week. It's a simple program that does all the work for you. I'm already up to $25,000 just going on my third week.
Whoa. What was that website again?
It's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Now write this down, John. You should go there and learn how this program can help you become financially independent, too.
Thanks, Bill. I'm going there right now.
Check, please.
You got this one, right, Bill?
Sure, John. Don't forget, it's www.didyourobbillgates.com. Next time, you'll be buying me lunch.
Deal.
Antos America, coming to you live in San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Anissa Abdel Fattah. She is the director of the National Association of Muslim American Women. It's also known by the acronym N as in Nancy, A-M as in Mark, A-W, N-A-M-A-W, the National Association of Muslim American Women. Anissa, you were talking about Al-Sistani and the beginnings of the American War in Iraq. When we were going to the commercial break. Go ahead.
Right. Well, if you remember, when we first went into Iraq, the Ayatollah, he kind of held back the Iraqi people by saying to them, support the establishment of an interim government. And then, first there was the caretaker government, then the interim government, and then finally there was a final vote. And then you remember that after the violence began to escalate and so many Iraqi people were being, you know, literally murdered in the street for no reason, and they wanted us to believe that all of this murder of Iraqi people was being carried out by other Iraqis, the so-called insurgency. So my hope, and then at some point, this is Sistani, he issued a statement saying he's no longer going to be involved in anything political, that he's going to limit himself to his role as political leader and advisor to the Iraqi people, and he has nothing else to say politically. I think that people in the United States have done pretty much the same thing, and for pretty much the same reason, because it seemed that what worked before doesn't work anymore. We used to could have a protest. We used to could write letters to our congresspeople. We could get on programs like this, and we could talk about things. And our government had to respond to us. There was no way for them to not respond to us. But now we see that our government, we do all of this, and our government doesn't respond to us. So
you know,
not only do we see it...
Let me put this into perspective for you, Anissa. I had a close friend, Air Force friend that I've known, that my family's known for many, many years, mm-hmm. of my parents' vintage, who was chatting with me recently. Mm-hmm. And she said that one of her friends had listened to one of my broadcasts involving a person who would be very much like yourself on my show, talking about these kinds of issues. Mm-hmm. And this person asked my friend, well, gee whiz, is he against America, meaning me? Is he against America? Does he stand for the overthrow of our government? And my response to that was, you can tell this person that, of course, I'm a public figure. They are free to talk to me about this. But the fact of the matter is, I love America. I love our Constitution. I love what we once were and what we should go back to again. And to suggest that if I want to criticize George W. Bush as a part of my First Amendment rights in this country, the Bill of Rights connected to our Constitution, if I want to tell listeners that I think he's wrong or that he's acting unlawfully or inadvisedly, or if I think his war on terror is a crazy concept that not only has killed a lot of innocent people abroad who are not Americans, but has killed a lot of our own flesh and blood, and that threatens our own domestic freedoms under the Constitution in this country, that is my right, and not only my right, but my duty as a patriotic American to say those things in the proper spirit. Tell them that I said that.
Well, and probably the thing that you might have also said to them is that your government's already been overthrown. And the people who are now agitating, they're agitating to have our government restored. Our government's been overthrown. I mean...
look at what happened to John Kennedy. Right? That would have been a wake-up call for somebody, right?
You would think that at some point people would look up and say, all of this change so abruptly, all of this cultural, even the political cultural changes so abruptly, is indicative of something, and it's indicative of the fact that there is something that has gotten into our government that has changed its behavior, changed its character, changes the way it responds to its own citizens, changed its agenda. I don't know how you define overthrow, but I would be willing to say that our government has been overthrown. When you have
exactly.
a government where people put together an immigration policy behind closed doors, decide that they're not going to allow any debate, you know, on the quote-unquote compromise that they have put together, that they're going to force-feed it down the American citizen's throat, and none of it is beneficial to the American citizen when it undermines our national security and our economy, you have to know that there's already, your government's already been overthrown. So for people who, you know, say that anyone who wants to bring these anomalies to our attention, anyone who wants to say, wake up America and look at what's going on and do something about it, you want to overthrow the government, that's absolutely ridiculous, but it kind of shows you how people are not keeping up with what's going on and the changes. And, you know, it used to be the changes were very subtle and they didn't come at you so closely. But now you can sense almost a kind of desperation where they are taking off the sheep's clothing, you know, and the wolves are kind of standing right there in front of us saying, you know, this is who we are and this is what we're doing, and you can't do anything to stop us. Because anyone like yourself, like me, like other people who will raise our voices and say these things, you'll be called terrorists, potential terrorists, people who are anti-government. I even heard someone on the television the other day defining the Republican Party now as an anti-government party. So here now, this language of sedition and name-calling, McCarthyism, is even creeping back into the national dialogue and conscience, because I guess that's the next stage that they have planned for us, is that we're all going to start to pull one another's hair and eyeballs out, you know, and start tagging each other with these different, you know, monikers that dictate that we are all, you know, against something that is, you know, essential to our well-being, which is a lot of BS in my opinion. I think that the American people, that we need to get back to our basic instinct. I think that there are a lot of us dinosaurs from the 50s that are still alive, and people older than us that are still alive and that have lived long enough, and that we remember America. We're hard to fool. It's the younger generation of people, our college-age people, and those maybe who have graduated from college recently. I'd say our kids from the age maybe 35 on down, who are the target now, you know, of this group, because they don't remember, you know, America. And the America that they've grown up in is a very different place. And even the ideas and things that they embrace, I don't know, you remember when they created the generational gap back in the 70s, when they decided they wanted to let 18-year-olds vote because they wanted to increase the number of voters who would vote the liberal agenda. So the only way to do that was to go into the universities and brainwash our students and then tell them, don't believe and trust anybody that's over 30, and then go and vote. And, of course, they went and voted in the liberal agenda, and we see where our country has kind of gone from there. Now we no longer have actually two parties. We have the same party, you know, under different names. One carries the agenda so far, and then the next one gets in the office and he carries it a little further, but there's really no disagreement on the basic elements of the agenda, and they don't challenge them. People say, oh, the Democrats rolled over to the Republicans. The Democrats and Republicans have the same agenda. And as a matter of fact, the Democrats are even more aggressive on the war on terror than the Republicans.
I confronted my brother on this, Anissa. My brother is a very, using these terms advisedly, mm-hmm. I'm a Buchanan Republican. That means certain things to most people.
Right.
My brother is on what one would perceive to be the far left end of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
We, on cultural issues, don't agree on anything.
Right.
He is repulsed by the fact that I have a very traditionalist Christian theistic point of view on God and on culture. I think he's repulsed by the fact that I'm an endowed member of the National Rifle Association and things of this sort. But we are pretty much in agreement on this war. And when it comes to Bush and Cheney and company on this war, we're right together. Now, my brother is a big activist in the Democratic Party. He's a very famous trial attorney in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And I have said to him, you know something, Steve? I said, now, our parents, unfortunately, they're great people, but unfortunately, they're Bush Republicans. And I've said this before on this show. That's something my mom and dad and I just don't talk about. We've agreed to disagree. They watch Fox News. When I'm in their home and Fox News is on, I go in the other room and look for an air sick bag. That's just the way that it is. But you know, that's my background. And my brother, on the other hand, is on the far left end of the Democratic Party, where on the one hand, he hates Fox News for some very good reasons. And yet I've said to him, you know, Steve, I've been reading the recent speeches of Mr. Obama and Ms. Clinton and Mr. Edwards on the subject of Israel and on the subject of this war on terror, and it sounds to me like the same speechwriter who is writing all this jingoism for Giuliani and McCain and Romney is writing these speeches as well. So how can you tell me, Steve, as a Democrat, that if we get rid of the current bums that are running the executive branch of our government and put in Obama or Clinton or Edwards, that there is going to be any change in direction in the Middle East? I think
And don't you think it's interesting that people completely exonerated Clinton for his attacks on Iraq? He softened Iraq for the ultimate invasion, and that was his plan. And the media said it openly. When he was claiming that he was going into these no-fly zones and bombing Iraq repeatedly, when they set up the economic sanctions regime against Iraq, they denied them food, medicine, all those kinds of things, they were softening Iraq as a target. So this idea of an invasion of Iraq didn't pop into George Bush's head because he wanted to get Saddam Hussein because he was going to kill his father. That's political rhetoric. The media does that to us because they keep us distracted so that we don't connect the dots.
And, of course, Mr. Bush's father, along with a series of other American presidents since 1958, was bankrolling Saddam Hussein, who was a CIA asset up until 1990 or 91. And, of course, all of that is conveniently not explained.
We gave him the weapons of mass destruction that he had.
And used him to kill a lot of Iranian people in a war between 1980 and 1988 that was largely a war being conducted by Israel, Britain, and the United States, in my judgment. We'll be back with Anissa.
Right.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned for Anissa Abd El Fattah.
Privacy crisis, odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymous. Open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our very special guest today is Anissa Abd El Fattah, the director of the National Association of Muslim American Women. Let me put in a plug for two very diverse things today. We were talking about culture with Anissa. I was amazed to find out how much she knows about American culture and that she grew up in this country in the Middle West in the 1960s between St. Louis and Chicago. Folks, for those of you who remember those days and different times, the country music star Eddie Arnold, who's still living at 89 years of age, by the way, you may not know this, but 2 years ago, RCA brought him back to the studio at age 87 to make one more album. That album is entitled After All These Years, and there's one song in particular that may mean something to those of you who have loved ones who are either in this Iraq tragedy or are about to be a part of it. It's entitled, I Want to Be Home With You. Get a hold of that Eddie Arnold album. I'm only promoting this because I like Eddie Arnold's music, and I think that this last poignant album that he recorded at age 87 will one day be a classic. Nobody's buying it now. Most of our young people don't know who this man is. But when you listen to some of those songs, as rustic as his voice sounds all these many, many years later, it still speaks to the heart, and it says some things to me about who we were as well as what we've become. The other thing I'd like to mention, Dilip Hero has been a past guest on this show, of course. He is the author of The Iranian Labyrinth. He is the author of The Essential Middle East. His wonderful dictionary on the Middle East is something that I picked up recently at Barnes & Noble. Dilip Hero, you will recall, has written what many people feel to be the definitive chronicle in English of the Iran-Iraq War between 1980 and 1988. Anissa made reference to that conflict. Both of us made reference to it in the light of American support for Saddam Hussein under circumstances that look very different today. If you get a copy of Dilip Hero's book, The Longest War, The Iran-Iraq Military Conflict, he came out with that book in 1991. That is, again, what I believe to be the definitive book ever written to an English reading audience on this subject. You'll never look at what the United States did between 1980 and 1988 in the same vein again. That's Dilip Hero, The Longest War, The Iran-Iraq Military Conflict. That goes back to 1991. Anissa, tell me, I have been reading your latest article entitled Vindicating Islam. And, of course, as someone who obviously is a patriotic American and a very fine human being, you are also, not coincidentally, a Muslim American. As you watch all of this sort of thing happening in this country right now, as it relates to domestic policy and culture as well as to this international scene, quite clearly, a guy fitting the profile of Mark Dankoff, Air Force colonel for a father, parents, rockbed Midwesterners from Iowa, Depression-era people, Mark Dankoff, Pat Buchanan, Republican historically, Mark Dankoff, Orthodox Lutheran pastor, Mark Dankoff, pro-life activist, all of these other things that if the Zionists have people like me in their crosshairs with my profile, quite clearly, Anissa Abdel Fattah, the director of the National Association of Muslim American Women, and people who belong to that organization and who consider themselves to be both good Muslims as well as good Americans, must be particularly feeling the strain and the pressure of this crosshairs experience. What is it like in your situation to be seeing this? What do you think the future implications are for you and your family members and for your friends in this country who are both Muslims and good Americans? Is this a time for you to be particularly concerned and afraid?
Well, I don't think so. I know that there are people who would like for us to believe that they will prevail in their campaign against Muslims and against Islam in the United States, but I don't believe that they will. I don't believe that Muslims in the United States have anything to fear. I don't believe that they will succeed at demonizing Islam, because the more it seems that they attempt to turn the American people away from Islam, the more the American people go to learn and to read about Islam. And when they go to learn and read about Islam, then they're realizing on their own that most, if not all of it, what they hear in the media is not true. I know that there are people who would love, you know, for Muslims to be on the airwaves in places, you know, screaming like Chicken Little that the sky is falling, because they feel that they are that powerful that they could bring the sky down. They feel that they have control of enough things that they can destroy people's lives, that they can frighten and intimidate people. I assure you that they don't. I think that Muslims are very much aware of the political environment that we live in. The majority of Muslim Americans in the United States are people who converted to Islam from Christianity, from Judaism, from other religions. Most of them were born and raised in the United States. Many of them come out of the same generation that we come out of. We lived through the civil rights movement. We are very much aware of how in our society new groups are often treated, how they're stigmatized. We are aware of the kind of propaganda campaigns that take place in a country as it's preparing to, you know, to go to war, and it wants to stoke patriotism. There has to be an enemy. So because we are American people, we understand all of these things, and perhaps that's why we're not as intimidated, perhaps, as our enemies would like for us to be.
I have an idea on this that I want to share with Anissa Abdel Fattah, the National Director of the National Association of Muslim American Women. The Mark Dankoff's America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free 888-699-NEWS or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're joined today by Anissa Abdel Fattah, the National Director of the National Association of Muslim American Women, known by the acronym N as in Nancy, N-A-M-A-W. That's the National Association of Muslim American Women. Anissa's articles, by the way, will not disappoint, including this latest one that she has written, which I have read in its entirety, and it's entitled Vindicating Islam. Vindicating Islam. Anissa, something occurs to me as we talk, and I can't tell you how long ago I had this dawning awareness. It was a few years ago. But as I was reading some of the things that my friend Hassan El-Najjar routinely posts at aljazeera.info, mm-hmm. and of course that is a domestic American website found in Dalton, Georgia. As I was looking at more of the pictures of what's really going on in Palestine, what the United States is really supporting in terms of Gaza and the West Bank, and all of the other atrocities that are routinely chronicled there that I believe to be absolutely factual, both pictorially as well as in the prose analysis that's posted on that site, I thought to myself, you know, this is not only immoral that Americans like me have been directly or indirectly supporting this for many, many years, wittingly or unwittingly. Right. But now that I have a much better understanding of what is going on in the Middle East and understand things about Palestine and Mesopotamia and Iran that I was not aware of as a young person, I'm now looking at this present scene in this country and I'm thinking, you know, the same people who are perpetrating these atrocities in the Middle East and in Palestine, the forces behind this are the same forces that threaten me as an American in living in this country in regard to what's happened to my culture, what's happened to the economy of this country, what's happened to my rights constitutionally as an American citizen. And I think as more Americans who have no connections to the Middle East, who do not understand the Islamic religion and are not Muslims, but as more Americans begin to connect those dots, I think that the folks behind this sort of thing must be getting increasingly scared, because ultimately, if Americans like me begin to connect those dots, there are more of us than there are of them.
Absolutely.
And if we connect these dots, then all of a sudden these guys have to think, gee whiz, all of a sudden this demonization of Muslims is not working anymore because the non-Islamic American population has figured out what we're doing and they're not buying anymore. Isn't that the real way in which these guys who are presently running the show and that's how they have to be increasingly nervous. I would guess that alternative media and other things is starting to get the message across that we've been had.
Well, let me tell you something, Mark. Prior to the invasion of Iraq in March, something happened in this country that a lot of American people were not aware of, and that is that a whole part of that dialogue about Iraq and whether or not we should go to Iraq was silenced. And the way that those people were silenced is that they were literally ran out of the various think tanks, organizations in Washington were shut down, some people left the country, people were frightened and intimidated, lots of them because they were being tagged terrorists and potential terrorists. They literally silenced any voice of opposition coming out of the intelligence communities, out of the think tank communities in the Washington, D.C. area. So there was only one voice that was left to talk, and it had its day in collaboration with the media. It just propagandized in this country until the American people could not make really any other decision, if they were making their decision based solely on information, except to go to war. Only those Americans who relied upon their moral instinct were able to say no, and this is wrong. But those of us who listened, who believed what we were being told, who thought that we were still dealing with an American government that was really an American government, felt that we owed our government the benefit of the doubt. And so even if we didn't like the idea of war, we owed it to our troops to support the war, which I did for a time, and I can't deny that.
Well, you know, I look at my own history, and you know, I go back, for example, to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. As a young person, I was a supporter of what we were doing in Vietnam. I thought that we had to oppose communism everywhere in the world and that we were the good guys, the other guys were totally in the wrong,
right.
And that anything the United States did,
right.
Even though I didn't intellectually articulate this, at least subconsciously I'm thinking that anything the United States did was synonymous with God's will. Now, that's
exactly
a pretty scary concept.
And that if we did bad things, that we made a mistake, but that we could never deliberately do anything evil because we are not an evil people.
Yes.
And I think the people from our generation and those older than us understand very well that mentality that I'm talking about. So when we were inundated with this one voice because we didn't know that they had silenced silenced everyone, and there was a tremendous amount of people who just kept quiet because they were intimidated out of the dialogue. Why am I saying that? Because that has changed. As more information, because of radio programs like your own, Mark Glenn, other people who have had the courage to create an alternative media where people can come and talk and tell the truth, then those people increasingly are being exposed. Their methods are being exposed. The Iraq War, as much as I hate to say this, was probably good for us in that respect, in that the carnage, the loss of American life unnecessarily, all of that caused people to start to ask questions. And they are no longer satisfied with the traditional answer. And they're no longer looking to the same places for answers. This is our hope. And as you say, I also believe that it is allowing those people, those forces, or that interest that has been undermining our society to understand that they're losing the battle. They are losing the battle. I got an email this morning from someone who sent out something on the protocols of the Elders of Zion. I don't know if you probably are familiar with that.
Yes, I am.
And they were saying for years and years and years, this thing kind of hovered over everyone in the United States who hated it, who never wanted to believe it, didn't want to read it, but it was always there only because it looked like everything that was written there was coming to fruition, that it's happening right before our very eyes. Well, according to this email, there was a trial in France where it was determined that the actual author of those protocols was Theodor Herzl. Who was Theodor Herzl? He's the ultra-Zionist idealist who came up with the whole idea of a state of Israel as a Jewish homeland in Palestine. So now suddenly, look, we don't even have to connect the dots. The dots are connecting themselves for us. So now we no longer have to be plagued by this idea, this false idea that was put in our heads that made it so ridiculous that this type of a plan could be constructed by a body of people and elders of Zion writing secretly somewhere that it would become so public. When here it was part of the same propaganda that was being created by Theodor Herzl and his crew to validate and legitimize the idea of a Jewish-only state in Palestine, and that these protocols were written basically to say, and this is the structure that we are going to create socially in the outlying areas that is going to make it possible for Israel to continue to exist unchallenged. And when we look at the domestic policies in our country, the decline of morality in our country, and all of these things that were so much a part of this so-called protocol, we begin now to understand it.
Exactly. And, you know, to me, just to put this into perspective, I wrote a piece for the American Free Press, which is on my blog in Amman, Jordan, with Al Bawaba. Mm-hmm. And, well, there are a couple of ones that pertain to our conversation today, Anissa. One is my post on the alliance of Rudolph Giuliani and the Christian right. Mm-hmm. As the war on terror merged with war on the unborn. That one might be of interest to you. But even more to the point for this conversation is a piece that I wrote about the death of a kid here in San Antonio in this war. Mm-hmm. His name was Marquis J. McCants. Now, he was an African-American young man, 23 or 24 years of age, a graduate of Churchill High School here in San Antonio. Even more to the point, he is the nephew of an African-American evangelical Lutheran minister here in town, Elder McCants at Holy Cross Lutheran Church, who is a peer of mine in the Lutheran ministry. Pastor McCants and I have known each other for many, many years. We're very close friends. And Pastor McCants was the one who preached at his nephew's funeral, a block down the street from where I live, before they drove even further down the street to commit his nephew to the hallowed grounds of the Fort Sam Houston National Cemetery here locally. It got a lot of play in the media at the time, the fact that this tragedy had happened yet to another young person from San Antonio. And I'll send you my blog on Marquis, because he apparently, I did not know him, I know his uncle very well. But Marquis J. McCants was, by all accounts, a wonderful kid. He was idealistic. The full story of his life is quite poignant to read. And His uncle has privately talked to me about the war even before this happened, and he and I are largely on the same page with it, although obviously I'm a lot more public in my profile because I'm a secular radio broadcaster and I talk about political issues right out there in the open. Mm-hmm. But I told Pastor McCance privately months before his nephew was tragically killed, I said, you know, Elder, we're reaching a critical mass in this country when we've got to... At some point, we're going to have to start facing the music as pastors in regard to who and what it is that's behind all of this trash, both culturally well as internationally. And I'm afraid that it might cost some of us our livelihoods and our reputations in a jingoistic culture. But, you know, in our case, as Christians, he and I, as Christians, might be led of God to have to say some things we've never said before, whereas as Orthodox Lutheran pastors who also love America, what it was historically, we might have to say as a sheer handful of Christian clergymen stepped out against Hitler's Germany in World War II. Most of them went along. A few didn't.
Right.
People like Elder McCance and I might have to step out as Lutheran pastors at some point and say to our own flocks, you know, folks, this has now reached the point where it's so bad. We've tried to stay out of this in terms of mixing politics with the pulpit, quote unquote, but we're now talking about a situation where America is going the way of Germany under National Socialism and Adolf Hitler. I'll put it that bluntly. And
well,
if that's true, if that's true, at some point, a lot of other people who are patriotic Americans and who represent a variety of different religious points of view, Christian and non-Christian, as they come to similar conclusions, I think this whole thing is going to reach critical mass. I truly believe that.
Let me tell you something, Mark. I think you're right. And let me say this, and I'm not a Lutheran minister, but it's clear to me when I look either at the Islamic tradition or the Christian tradition, is that the message is clear. The walk that Jesus took bearing that cross, and then in the Bible where it says, if you want to follow Jesus, pick up your cross and follow. We have this same concept in Islam because, you know, in Islam we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the message of Jesus Christ to the world. We believe that Jesus Christ was born of an immaculate conception. We believe all of those things. And so we also understand and believe what Jesus' message was, that when he stood up against the Jewish hierarchy of his time, when he was persecuted by them, when he was taken before Pontius Pilate and they charged him with wanting to overthrow the authority of Rome, what that resulted in, the challenge for him, and then the Christian community that formed in Antioch after him, and the challenges that they went through. There is nothing in the scripture of the Bible or in the Quran that gives us the impression that those who will follow Jesus, those who will follow Muhammad, will have an easy time of it. But what it does promise us is a victory. Not only a victory in paradise, but a victory in this life, because God said in the Bible, and he also said in the Quran, that the righteous will never fail, and that the meek are the ones who are going to inherit this earth. So we don't have any reason to feel discouraged or besieged, or to feel that we are being confronted with a win-loss situation. The only thing that Jesus caused us to do, he said, pick up the cross. Pick up the cross and follow him. The same thing that the Quran calls us to do. It said, stand up for justice. God stands with you. Be a witness. It said that God called us to be a witness, the Bible says, and God called them to be witnesses. The Quran says the same thing. So we never look at the challenges that are facing us, whether we're talking about the secular or whether we're talking about the religious, as challenges that we can't measure up to. Both the Bible and the Quran tell us that we are going to be tested and that belief alone is not going to be sufficient. Wasn't it Timothy who said belief without action is nothing? The Quran tells us the same thing, that it's not. He said, do you think that you were going to say you would believe and not be tested when even Abraham, who was a friend of God's, was tested? So when we look at these things, we see that it is going to be the voice of faith that is going to awaken the world. That's always been the case. And that it is going to be the voice of faith that is going to lead the people, right, into some type of a movement that is going to restore our government, that is going to clean up our society, that is going to restore the true concepts of what is moral and immoral and what is right and what's wrong. Because the biggest thing that we lost in all of this is that these people took us into a type of relative thinking that caused us to not even be able to know what is right from wrong and what's moral and immoral. And we see now how that fed into their agenda, is that we can stand by quietly, even the church, even the mosque, even the synagogue can stand quietly as these troops roll all over the world murdering and destroying people. Under what pretense?
Under a complete crock that involves a packaged set of lies, the implications of which are absolutely so monstrous that it's just beyond my ability to comprehend it. Exactly.
Yeah.
And to me, one of the most, if I might put it this way, one of the most revolutionary ideas, using that term advisedly, very advisedly,
right,
is the fact that all of these Christians, and I'm talking about true Christians who are presently deceived, mm-hmm, not deliberate charlatans like John Hagee of Cornerstone Church here in San Antonio, but Christians who up to this point have been deceived by people like Hagee.
Right.
I am praying that the Holy Spirit of God, if I can get theological just for a moment, that the Holy Spirit of God brings these people into the awareness of what Jesus really thinks of this, mm-hmm, sort of thing, and that,
yeah,
as that occurs, that as their eyes are opened to what has happened to their country, what has,
yeah,
happened to their constitution, what has happened to their churches,
yeah,
what's happened to their families, that they say, wow,
yeah,
we're not buying this time,
yeah,
and that they also come to see people like Anissa, yeah, in a far different light from what Hagee and Fox News are telling them to believe.
Yeah.
We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be back with this very, very fine lady, Anissa Abd El Fattah of the National Association of Muslim American Women. When Mark Dankos, America, enters its final minutes from San Antonio on RBN. Stay tuned.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Do you know that you can go solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073 or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're in the last 3 minutes or so of my show today. Our special guest is Venanisa Abd El Fattah of the National Association of Muslim American Women. We've covered a lot of territory in the last 3 hours. I flew solo for 1 hour. Anissa has given us a wonderful show here in these last 2 hours. And I am sending out to all of my contacts around the world information about this particular show, in order that those who did not hear it live would tune in to what Anissa has had to say in these last 2 hours. This has gone all over the world and all over the United States, and I think there will be a lot of folks looking at the RBN archive for Mark Dankos America for the 8th of August. Anissa, in terms of what you're doing with the National Association for Muslim American Women, in these last couple of minutes, where do you see the organization going from here? What are your goals for the next year?
Well, we're hoping to begin to do some writing on the upcoming presidential election. We're going to issue an endorsement at some point for one of the candidates. I'm hoping that we are going to get more involved with the United Nations as far as trying to hash out some type of amicable agreement in respect to the Palestine-Israel conflict, which we are very involved and we follow that very closely, particularly what's going on, the isolation of Gaza and the famine and starvation that's taking place there. And we just hope generally to stay involved also with the domestic issues in the United States that we feel like are, you know, detrimental to the American people generally. We came out against the immigration reform bill. We lobbied against that to the best of our ability, mostly just through writing our perspective on it. We, you know, hope to continue to do that. And we hope to continue to try and forge relationships with American people like yourself and your listeners who are very tired of these forces that are always trying to separate and polarize us and turn us against one another so that it's easier for them to fool us and to dominate us, that when we stand together that there is not a force on earth that is more formidable than the American people are. And so we are going to always be working to forge these relationships, to keep the American country intact, to keep our citizenry intact, and to keep us vigilant for liberty and for freedom and to work towards all of those things.
Yes, I think that that's definitely where it is in the days ahead, and I want to emphasize to everyone who's listening to this show that this is top priority, folks. As I said at the beginning of the broadcast in my first hour before Anissa came on, there are just a few things in life that are more important than Barry Bonds, more important than home run 756, more important than the San Francisco Giants, who were arguably one of the worst baseball teams in history, and yet everyone was watching this last night. There are some things that matter a lot more than anything related to the National League or the National Football League or the National Basketball Association or the sick things that are going on culturally in our news media and with Hollywood. And the things that ultimately matter, in my judgment, involve the individual's relationship with God, involve the individual's relationship with his family members and friends, and involve, if you are an American listening to this, involve the recovery of this country and this country's constitutional tradition while there is yet time. I would like to thank Anissa Abd El Fattah for being on this show today. She is the director of the National Association of Muslim American Women. Mark Dankos America signs off for now. We will be back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. sharp Central Time. Come to you from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Mark Glenn will be on tonight on RBN at 8 p.m., substituting for Michael Collins Piper, so be sure to listen to Mark Glenn tonight, 8 p.m. sharp Central Time. God bless. See you tomorrow. I'm the tiger.
It's true.